Hey everybody, Tom Henderson here, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast, where we hear stories and have conversations about life in Christ, integrating our faith into every area of our life, and talk about ways that we as men can give life to others, at home, at work, and in the community. Before we get rolling today, I want to let you know that tickets for ResGen's couples event, Date Night Comedy, which takes place on February 29th and March 1st, are currently on sale at resgen.org. This annual event draws over 1,000 couples between the two nights for an evening filled with fun, laughter, and marital enrichment. Date Night this year will feature both magic and comedy, with author and magician Danny Ray performing some jaw-dropping illusions and comedian Andrew Stanley providing the jokes. Both nights will be the same, so pick which night works best for you and plan on joining us for what will be one of your favorite date nights of the year. Tickets are only $20 each, and they will sell out, so I encourage you to get yourselves registered as soon as you can at resgen.org. Also, if joining us in Sioux Falls isn't an option for you, Friday night's event will be also live streamed, so you can join us online from wherever you are. All right, my guest today is a friend of mine who was our final speaker of the day at ResGen Men's Summit 2024. Chris Brown is a passionate follower of Jesus, husband, father, and the lead pastor of North Coast Church, multi-site church in Vista, California, roughly 30 miles north of San Diego. On this episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast, Chris and I cover a lot of ground as we discuss many different topics, including marriage, fatherhood, being the spiritual leader of our homes, leadership principles he personally lives by, and simple things we can all do that will help us in our quest of becoming more like Jesus every day. This episode is loaded, and I have no doubt it is going to be both helpful and fun. Here's my conversation with Chris Brown. Chris, welcome to Sioux Falls, brother.
Oh, it's amazing to be. Look at this, guys. Everybody, Sioux Falls. I know I just blinded the lens on this thing, but this is incredible.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So I mean, this is 4 years in the making that you and I are not just sitting at this table together, but that we're going to be sharing a stage together and all that tomorrow at the Men's Summit. So yeah, we are recording this just prior to the Men's Summit. But
4 years in the making.
4 years. Yeah. So I sent the first email 4 years ago, seeing if you could come and be a part of the Men's Summit. But it's just never worked out with your schedule.
Because it's always been in Sioux Falls. I'm like, you guys going to Tampa next year? Give me a call. What's that? Nope. Sioux Falls? Yeah, busy. Didn't even tell you what time of year it was, Chris. Busy. No. Yeah, we have our big men's event. It's happening this weekend.
This weekend, I saw.
So I had to sneak out of town because dudes are like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, guys, I've said no to this guy a couple times. I gotta go.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Well, first, this is going to be an introduction to some of our listeners and viewers as to just who you are. So I'd love it before we
this will be an introduction to all of your listeners and viewers of who I am. So
I'd love for you to just quickly introduce yourself, and then I don't even know where the Lord's going to take this conversation. I said in the intro, I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about these topics and we'll see where it goes, because I just knew that we would have a great conversation that is going to be both fun and fruitful.
Okay.
So I'm
going to guarantee one. You're in charge of the other. We're going to have a good time.
Okay. All right. So introduce yourself and then we'll roll.
Chris Brown. Got another question on me. What's there to know about me? I live in San Diego. I have a gorgeous wife inside and out. Man, we've been married 28 years. We've got three kids. We've got a 22-year-old daughter, a 21-year-old daughter, an 18-year-old boy who's sitting over there in the corner with his headphones on, listening to his own music. He's still bummed I brought him to Sioux Falls and made him get out of school to come hang with his dad for a men's retreat. So, great. Father-son weekend's kicking off. 20 years now, I've been at a church called North Coast Church, North County, San Diego. Loving it. I'm an avid fisherman. And so being right there next to the big blue water, I love it. It was all freshwater growing up, but now I'm a saltwater. Just, I love kayak fishing offshore and any fishing.
Yeah.
I used to like hunting, but you don't say that in Southern California. So my church
we should
would
say it here, though.
Say it here.
Say it here.
I fish out there because they don't let me carry a gun. But when I can carry a gun, I shoot me something that's bloody. So, yeah, grew up in West Texas. Grew up in East Texas, elementary years, West Texas. So loved having a gun. It was all small game, a lot of quail, a lot of dove, a lot of jackrabbit, rattlesnake, coyote, a lot of varmint shooting because we were way out in the middle, nowhere desert.
Yeah.
But in San Diego, you can't say gun. Picked up a rod and reel and said, I'm going to kill something somehow, and I'm going to eat it. And that's what I do. There's your intro.
That's so good. That's the perfect intro.
You're not going to use any of that, but that's okay.
No, it's all. We don't edit these things. That's all going in the pod.
You will be editing this today, my friend. Or welcome to the last podcast with ResGen. Glad to bring it down for you guys.
All right. And we also owe you a big congratulations to your family, because I saw that just last night, your daughter got engaged.
Yes, sir.
Which, I mean, what an amazing thing. And you got to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I'm still pretending I'm good with it. Yeah. They're never going to watch this, so I can talk freely. I tell you, she's my middle daughter. She's 21. She is ferocious. She has got her mama's looks, her dad's personality. So she has been a prayer request since she was like four. And I've always prayed for the man who's going to just lasso her, because, oh, dude, Katie, bar the door. You hold on tight, pup, because she is going to run you for the rest of your life. And she didn't pick the dude I expected. You know, I saw the 6'6", 240-pound. He goes both ways. He's middle linebacker and he's tight end, and he's got a Division I scholarship, and he may be a handler, and he knows the Lord. Not in that weird, like, grace and peace and mercy to you, brother, but just that inner strength, like, that dude actually knows the Lord.
Yeah.
He can handle it. And nope. You know what's funny is, how do I say this? Oh, this is terrible already. Why'd you let me go down this road, Tom?
Because I wanted it to be, you remember, you're going to do the fun part.
Okay, she's got my personality. What I didn't realize then was she was going to find a man with mom's personality, because those personalities work.
Right.
And so Hudson, now listen, I got to say right off the bat, in case this ever gets back to him, which it won't. I love that dude. He loves my daughter. Man, does he love my daughter. And he does love the Lord. It was just different. He came in a different package than I thought. And I thought, I'm going to get a hunting buddy. I'm going to get a fishing buddy. I'm going to get this guy. I'm like, you're going on men's retreats with me. You're doing stuff. And I'm like, not so much. So it was a whole different thing. But as I've watched it in these months, I'm like, doggone it. This is exactly what this girl needs. She doesn't need 6'6" to wrangle her. She needs a heart that's going to speak into hers and capture her, unless every woman does. And this boy has it. And man, is he good. Comes from a great family. His mom is a children's pastor in like a city just north of ours. Mom and dad are still together. They love the Lord. His younger brother and little sister look up to him and adore him. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So he asked me a couple of weeks ago permission. And I flat out told him, Tom, I said, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not the husband that I want for my daughter, and you're definitely not the father that I want for my grandkids. And he sat in my office and just...
Big old eyes.
He was scared to death anyway. I said, but I believe you're the boy to start that process to becoming that man. I said, but you ain't it today. But I want you to be the guy that for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years learns how to be that man, because I think that's you. He's like, so is it a yes? I'm like, man, sit up straight when you're talking to me. Yeah, so congratulations. That was yesterday. It happened.
Oh, that's so great. This is so good. Well, and the minute you told me that you're running off about 3 hours of sleep, and you know, you guys got up early, which thank you for doing that.
They were line dancing in my backyard last night. Line dancing.
Yeah, exactly.
I just watched them line dance all night long, and I'm like, these kids.
You're like, I got a 6 a.m. flight. What are we doing? Yeah.
Get up at 4 a.m., went to bed at 1:45. And I'm on podcast. You ain't going to want to know what's in the cup. I'm telling you that right now. You can edit that out, Albert.
Oh, man. I love this, because the thing that I think that so many times we do is that we create things that, like, how we want it to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or what we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And even as I look at just, you know, Proverbs 16:9 is a scripture that I'm going to be looking at tomorrow with the guys, you know, for the men's summit. And just, we're so good at making our plans.
Yeah.
But yet all of a sudden the Lord comes in and says, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you're making plans. Plans are important. I appreciate you making plans, but I'm going to order the steps.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what you're just talking about right there.
Yeah.
And
you're like, well, wait a second, those steps are going to take me away from my plan. He's like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's how often that we grow the most usually, right?
Yeah.
Is when he's like all of a sudden says, okay, I know you want to go this way, but I want to go this way. And I mean, and that can be in so many different areas of our life. And, you know, even just as a dad.
Yeah.
You know, is what you're talking
100%. Everything great that's come from my life, I've had some good things that I orchestrated, but everything great that's come from my life has all been his plans, not mine. His journey, not mine. His career, not mine. His girl, not mine. Everything. His church, not mine. I mean, I wouldn't pick North Coast. I mean, every great thing in my life right now, I look at and go, didn't choose that, didn't choose that, didn't choose that. My first kid, choosing not to have kids when we had her, and I'm like, where was that plan? So every great thing I look at, I've had some good things that I'm able to come up with. And then I also look on the other side of that spectrum, the absolute worst things that have happened in my life. Yeah, those are mine. So I can come up with the worst of Chris and good. But I look at everything great and go, none of that. None of that was on my dashboard. None of that was on the flight plan.
Wow.
Yeah. So why am I still like, well, this is what I want to do, this and this. Like, boy, just roll over and let him have the wheel, man. He takes you to better places.
Yeah. That desire for control, though, is something that I think as men especially, we like. Yeah, we like that control, you know. And then all of a sudden when we realize that, okay, so if it's truly going to be me trusting God, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord in all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And even just like, why don't we lean on our own understanding? Well, because we don't see the big picture.
Yeah.
Right? We see just what's right in front of us. And usually what's right in front of us is most of the time something that makes us feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yet God's like, no, not your understanding.
Yep.
Mine.
Yep.
And I'm going to make your path straight.
Oh yeah. That 18-year-old punk kid sitting in the shadows that they can't see online. When he was just a yay little dude, probably like three, four, we got a Lightning McQueen slippers, like the little bed slippers, you know, they got the little foam bottoms on them and they're going to get torn up pretty soon. But he was a big Lightning McQueen fan. So we got him little Lightning McQueen slippers. And I still remember it rained, which is unusual in San Diego. And after that, his sisters were going on in the backyard to play. And he comes running to the door to go out with them. And he's got the Lightning McQueen slippers on.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, man, you're not going out with that. He's not taking them off.
Yeah.
He's not taking them off. And I'm like, hey, buddy, you're not going outside with those, man. Those are basically, I mean, they're kitchen sponges. They're going to soak up everything that's out there. They're going to be ruined. There's no way you're getting mud off these things. You know, they've got no soul on them. I mean, they're just sponges. He's not taking them off. Dad, I'm not taking that. And we got this argument at the door. And I don't know how to convey in the head of this numbnut 3-year-old that maybe your 30-something-year-old dad knows something about your stinking slippers that you don't. And all I'm trying to do is protect and provide them, you know, protect and preserve them. That's all I'm trying to do. So you can have them, and because your plan is going to jack it up. Tom, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've gone back to that and realized, all right, I'm this sniveling, selfish little kid standing at the sliding door, and my father knows what's out there. I have no clue. And he doesn't really have a great way to convey his majesty into my peon created brain, except for, I'm here to protect and provide for you, kid. Trust that. Look in your rearview mirror. Look how I've done so far. Look what you've done. I know it doesn't make sense to you, but just trust that. And that kid gave me that picture, 15 years ago, to hold on to and go, wow, because there was nothing I could say to him in his little slippers that made sense to him on that day, except you ain't going out.
Yeah.
And World War III happened in the home again. So we let him go out. We ruined his slippers.
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, Target had another pair.
Well, yeah. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. There were $9 at Target. So why am I creating family havoc that's going to kill the rest of Christmas holiday? Well, let the idiot go out and just do it and say, told you so. Now you can't wear them inside because they have little mud prints all over the carpet.
So when did you, Chris, really decide, you know what? I'm going to put my full trust in Christ.
Ooh. When I had done my absolute best to train wreck my life fully. Yeah. I was never a drug and alcohol guy. My family kind of went down that road. Got a lot of, the Brown family is a very addictive tribe, man. We love addiction. And a lot of crystal meth, a lot of heroin, and a lot of alcohol. And I saw that growing up going, why is anyone going down those roads? Because I was seeing the worst of it.
Yeah.
But the opposite sex had me just from kindergarten, first kiss behind the bookshelf.
Yeah.
I should say the name, but it may be married to somebody out there. She's married to someone somewhere today. And I'm like, whoa. She didn't have a name. And from the first kiss in kindergarten on. And that was always then my Achilles heel. and then train wrecking my life, not liking who I was. Had a great job out in San Diego. I was driving heavy equipment, doing some stuff for a grading and paving company. And then they made me an estimator and then sales coordinator. And I hated being alone because when I was alone, I didn't like who I was with. And I had to have someone on my arm, and I traded them every 2 or 3 weeks. And I had nothing. I was so stinking empty. And that's when, you know, all the Christian upbringing, being forced to go to church, my older brother stepped into my life and just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "Man, I'm doing good." And he goes, "No, you're not." And I turned around to say something funny, and he was just staring right at me. And I turned around, and I was like, "Dang, he's nailed it." I said, "Well, I'm doing the best I can." And he goes, "No, you're not." He said, "Chris, I'm not going to preach at you. You've had that your whole life. I'm just going to tell you two things. You know that God loves you." And I'm like, yeah, I know God loves the world. No, I'm in the world. God loves me. It's like default, you know? Yeah. He goes, yeah, that's not what I want to tell you. I want to tell you that God knows everything you're doing right now, and he really, really likes you. And Tom, for some reason, I've heard God loves me my whole life.
Yeah.
God liking me was so much more profound than God loving me.
Yeah.
And then he told me something else that was a lie, but he said, you can have a relationship with God and never have to hang out with church people again. Because he knew I had suffered abuse early on in a church, in a Christian school. I had seen the most heinous stuff. I mean, I was the bad kid growing up and ultra conservative. So my name was always on the prayer request board in front of the church.
Yeah.
I was that kid that everyone would say stuff about. And I'm like, screw them. I'm just going to live it then. And I just hated church. And I think my brother at that point knew, man, if church goes with this, that kid ain't never coming back. So he's like, look, I'm going to walk you in to know who this God is. And you don't have to do any of that stuff. Because if he would have told me, God may call you to be a pastor, I would have ran and never looked back. Hated pastors, hated church. And that was the moment I had come to the end of me. It was preached my whole life, but until I had enough of Chris. And man, I just had enough of Chris. And that's the moment I came to find him. Now, I had no idea it would turn into this because, like I said, I wouldn't have followed the path.
Yeah. So as you think about just, you know, pastoring the, you know, North Coast Church and the impact that's having, and especially like in the men's world. I mean, you've got an event that's happening, you know, this weekend at the same time that the Men's Summit is going on here in Sioux Falls. I mean, so we'll have 1,150 gathered here locally in person, 19 simulcast sites. We'll have 2,500, 3,000 people that are part of the Men's Summit, but you have well over 1,000 guys, like out in the riding dune buggies.
Our guys it's nuts.
I mean, it's going great. So, like, I just feel like God is awakening the hearts of many, stirring something in the hearts of men.
No doubt.
And so I'm just wondering, like, for you, as you see that, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are your conversations like with guys? Of what God is doing in their life. And is it just guys that are saying, man, I've tried everything else. I've been searching for joy or, you know, identity or whatever, and none of it's working. What are you seeing in the years of you being in ministry and specifically in the last couple of years where God's doing something in the hearts of dudes?
Yeah. I think it is, we live in a day and age where, and especially in America, it is the greatest country on earth to be a boy. It is just the greatest country on earth. The freedoms we have, what we have at our fingertips. We live in a day and age where you don't have to go find anything. Everything finds you. I mean, when I was growing up, you had to go find, you know, no, I still remember when someone had thrown out a Playboy or porno magazine and one of my guys had found, you had to all figure out how do you get to his house when no parents around to see what he discovered. We're riding bikes in the desert and motorcycles. You had to go find, you know, something. Where nowadays, everything's you carry in your pocket on your phone. You had to go find your fun, your activities, your excitement. I think we live in a day and age where we all have it. Whatever you want to do or be involved in or have, you have it. And I think we've all gone down to these roads and realized they're all dead ends. And I think what I'm finding with men is they just want something that's real because they're also finding so much that's just not real.
Yeah.
She didn't satisfy me. You know, the bedroom didn't satisfy me. The billfold didn't satisfy me. I didn't know how much I make or where I move or that. The ball field didn't satisfy me. Like, there's only so much I can go back to the touchdown I scored in 87 before people are like, 2024, bro.
Yeah, listen, Uncle Reed.
Yeah, look, and we take a look at you. You ain't scored any touchdowns anytime lately. So, and then we all tried to find in a day and age where everything's accessible to go, what makes sense? And I think they're also done with religion, because religion has had its run in Christianity and in America, and it was proven to be false. And there is an authentic relationship with God as sons and father that religion forgot about. You know, religion gave you the steps of what you have to do to get to God. And we once again got on that road and realized, I'm not going to be that guy. Yeah. But then we found this grace and mercy and relationship that I could be with. That is something that the world also doesn't have a counterfeit for. There's no placebo for that. And that's what I'm finding with our men. And I think that's what I'm finding, you know, coming and being able to share with your ministry and that. Guys just want something to say, hey, talk real to me. Give me something that's real. Because I've done all the BS. I know it's phony. And something's missing. And when they find that something, that's it.
Yeah, that's such real talk. And I think that speaks to also, like, for dudes that are they're striving. I mean, they want to follow Jesus. They want to follow Jesus. And they say, like, man, I want to help reach my friends for Christ. We have so many guys that are bringing other guys to the Men's Summit. And I apologize, because by the time this pod drops, the summit was like a month ago or whatever. So, but the reality is, as we gathered, there were so many guys in that space that were brought by other guys. Mm-hmm. And they have this desire to share their faith, and but yet they struggle and say, what do I say? Like, how do I even do that? And one of my good friends, he and I, so we have a bagel place here in town called Bagel Boy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I do a lot of meetings there, and about once a week I'm at Bagel Boy, guaranteed. Okay. Their breakfast boy sandwich, unbelievable.
Okay, he lost me at bagel, and then he said breakfast sandwich, and I'm like, oh, I see why you're there. Yeah. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
So we'll figure out a way to get you a Bagel Boy sandwich before you roll out. But he was. Sometimes I can put so much pressure on myself, Chris, and I don't know if you face this in your. But like, oh man, even as I'm writing messages, I think about what God wants me to say. I can put so much pressure on myself of saying, like, well, it needs to be this or it needs to be this. And I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he said, Tom, what makes you effective is when you're Bagel Boy Tom. Mm-hmm. And he said, because when you're sitting across the table at Bagel Boy with me, like, that's where your best stuff comes out, because you're Bagel Boy Tom.
Yeah.
And that spoke so deeply to my soul, because it's just, be who you are.
Yep.
And if we as guys are out there and just saying, man, I just want to show the love of Christ, I want to share the love of Christ, just be yourself. Just allow them to see, oh, God, it's like a relationship for you, and it's not some sort of far off thing or whatever, but it's real. And so whatever your space is that you're the most comfortable, be that guy.
Yep. Be that guy. Be what God is doing in you, and live that out. And we say, hey, tag three words onto it. Come and see. People are going to go, man, Daryl, what got into you, man? I mean, things have happened. You stop dropping F-bombs. You're not throwing hammers around the shop like you used to anymore.
Yeah.
Things are going on. You're talking about Cynthia as if you're into her again. You know, you've been married 8 years. We know you're not into her. I mean, stuff. It's going to show. And now Daryl's sitting there like, I'm going to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ the only way. They're going to ask about creation and dinosaurs, and I'm out. And it's like, no, do this. I ought to come and see.
Yeah.
You ever want to come, man? You ought to come and see. I've been going to this place, man. It's done something. You guys know me, man. Home was a place I run from. Now it's a place I run to. Mm-hmm. And I do. I'm into Cynthia again, but the thing that blows me away, she's into me. And it's hard to, you ought to just come and see. Mm-hmm. We just tell guys, come and see. We invite dudes to everything. How many guys you invite to your Bagel Boy all the time? Right. Why? Because you know what you're going to get there. You got a little hun spot, a fishing hole. You got a movie that you saw, and you're like, man, you got to go see this. You got to go check this out.
Yeah.
We'll come and see. And it's like, live a life that demands that answer of like, well, what's going on? And then just go, man, just come and see. Because almost every dude will go to church with a buddy if they're saying, my buddy's getting something from this. Yeah. And just come and see. Yeah. And so we try to create the type of place where real dudes walk in and go, no coat, no tie. Ain't no one got dressed up here. There's a guy in board shorts because they just got done. You know, with the sets, we have, you know, people walk in 11 o'clock. They've already surfed that morning, and they're crusty. They're salty. And it's like, come on in. It's all shorts. It's all fishing shirts, or in my case, sushi shirts. And you shake a hand at North Coast, you're going to feel a callus, because it's all just blue collar guys. We're not in San Diego. We're not coastal. So we don't have a lot of white collar. We're not a wealthy church. We're just a large church. And we live on the trades highway. Almost everybody swings a hammer for a living, or does a concrete mixer, or drives something. And Guys have just been inviting guys, going, you come and see. So this desert thing we have going on back home, we call it Desert Rat. It is simply a place for you to bring your buddy. It's got a fifth wheel, and he's got a motorcycle. He's got a Razor. He's got a quad. And we have a poker run. You got for every stop you get to, you get a card, and then you come back. The best hand wins the Desert Rat trophy.
Cool.
And, yeah, we have four meetings. You have a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday. And when I'm there, my job is to speak 15 to 18 minutes. I'm not doing 4 points. I'm doing 4 points all weekend. Friday nights, hey, let me give you a thought. Saturday morning, give me a second thought, but you want to go ride, so I ain't keeping you here. Saturday, everyone comes in. You know, we fix the meals for you, but everyone camps in their own circles. And then, you know, hundreds of guys come in for these events and just sit there. We don't do worship because, you know, you ain't going to invite your friend to sit there and screw in the light bulbs with you if he's just checking out Jesus. And it's simply an intro event where our guys know you ain't getting church here. I'm going to bring my buddy Craig from the shop, and he's going to sit here and go, what the heck? That was church. Like, that was cool. It's nothing but crash and burn videos on the big inflatable screen that we got going up. And then, yeah, I do this little talk on the intro. I think the last time I did it was just, let me give you four reasons why a guy like me actually likes God. And Friday night, bam, then bam, bam, bam. Something to think about. And guys are like, that's your pastor? Like, that's church? Mm-hmm. Well, I go to that. And it's just, guys just need to bring friends to something that they know you're not going to be embarrassed by. Because I think that's, now we're getting different, but I think a lot of churches today are still going backwards, and men aren't bringing friends because they're going to be embarrassed by what we do at church. So create a church where men aren't going to be embarrassed, and men will bring friends.
Yeah,
men invite friends at places they like.
So I know that you are operating a lot in, or at least some, in the church leadership space, where you're trying to really help other church leaders develop, you know, really fully understand the how God can use their church and their community and that kind of thing. So as you are, as you're doing that, and I think I, you know, even read, and it's a bit, you know, church leadership expert, which is hilarious. We, you know, we love experts, right? We love the term
expert. Magazine church leadership expert.
Yeah. No, I saw that was attached that, you know, to, you know, one of your titles or whatever that is that you were recognized as a church leadership expert.
So I don't know who recognized that, but they haven't heard me very much,
but
I didn't know that was associated with my name.
So as you are speaking with other churches and helping them understand just how to grow and understand their call and their space, what are some of the things that you do tell churches outside of the hey, as you try to reach men,
yeah,
like what are some of the things that are just near to your heart? Mm-hmm. You're like, and obviously this is stuff that I'm sure that you have spoken to your staff that you try to lead in your own church.
There's a, it's funny you mention that, because then a book came to mind. I'm not a reader. I was a campus pastor at a Christian university, and the president would always say, leaders are readers. And I've heard that most of my life. Leaders are readers. And every time it said that, I was like, I'm not a leader. I never said I was a leader. You guys put me in the position, so shame on you.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not a reader. But I always had books in mind, because I knew part of the university, he'd always ask, like, what are you reading? And I had to say something. So I'd have a book memorized. Oh, kind of doing that. And then I'm like, I use that book, come up with another one next. And yet, as a staff, years and years ago, we did a book. I think it was by Edward Murrow. It's called Why Men Hate Church. And that's the title of the book, Why Men Hate Church. And I think I got to page 7 is all I got. He did a survey on this. And because page 7, I found my answer. I'm like, that's what I needed for that $9.99. That was worth it. Number one reason why men hate church, and we talked about that as a group. Why? Well, number one reason why men say they hate church, and it was like, well, because the music, because of that, we're coming up with our answers. His number one reason from the survey why men hate church, because they've been. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're not making stuff up. They're de-churched. You know why they hate church? They've been. They've been. They got religion in a package that wasn't very masculine to begin with. And neither of those things are going to work for a man. So we really try to challenge people. Look at even your services. Look at what you do. Look at who's up front. Look at what you're presenting. Look at what you're allowing to be special music, because you hate telling Aunt Lulu no, but she shouldn't be singing the solo and playing the piano at the same time anymore. You just can't. And that's, well, this is church. We're going, like, okay, then that's what you have. Then don't try to reach men and their friends, because show me where men and their friends sit through that. You know, show me where men and their friends sit through choirs. I know a lot of dudes. Everybody I know, not a single one of them has choir on a playlist. Now, I'm so sorry. Some of you come from a church, you're like, but our choir, and that's who we are. And I'm like, then be who you are.
Yeah.
And then you're going to reach who you are. That's great. But if you're talking about, but we want to reach men and we're not, then you've got to look and go, it's something that we're doing that's not attracting men. Because you have men that are going to your church. And if you offered something that they wouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed at, they'd bring a friend. So if you're looking at it that way, then you've got to look at what you're offering and go, obviously, we're doing something where our men are bringing guys. So look at that program and go, yeah, what has that embarrassment factor? What are we doing that looks like? And go, why would a man sit through there? Now, women, bless their hearts, will come to a church that's maybe not for them because they are far more, I think, created to walk with God, be relational, and better spiritual leaders in our country nowadays. And yet, if you reach women, you're going to reach her and the kids until the boys get about junior high age, and then they ain't going to church because dad didn't. And God bless the single moms, or at least the single moms on Sundays only, that are leading their family without the help of a male in the house, you know, going along with it. So we try to look at we got a lot of different venues, a lot of different campuses. And the reason why we have different venues is because we want places where men go and they go, I went over to that venue, you guys. I ain't ever going to that again. I'm like, good. You got one you like, though? Go there.
Yeah.
And go, man, this is what I always thought church should be. And I'm like, we got a place for you. And we got a place for you because we got a place that we want you to bring your buddy to go on with it. So, yeah, number one reason why men hate church, we've got to get rid of the religiosity that we do, and we've got to package this in a way and go, wow. You know, a guy will come with his wife and go, this was good for us, babe. Great music. So the people up front are the type of people I want to be led by. We make a big effort that with our worship bands, just is that the type of people that a guy would go, that's who I want to lead, just musically, right? And you know, Chris, then you're judging or you're putting a lot of people on stage by how they look or how they carry themselves. Heck yeah, we are. No bones about it. We are. Because we're trying to reach guys that are coming in going, I'll be led by that dude. I'll be led by that group. Man, that was a tight band. That was good. I don't know why all these people were standing waving their hands, but that was dang good music. And that message, man, it spoke to me and it gave me something. Christian or not, it gave me some practical tools for how I'm supposed to live my life, my marriage, my kids. Like, this would be good for us.
Yeah, Sunday into Monday stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's relevant.
I think a lot of churches need to stop teaching the Bible because they're just teaching the Bible. And I don't know any man in the world that wants to go and learn the Bible. You've got to teach Christian living using the Bible as your only authority, but you don't get points for knowing the Bible. We teach the Old Testament and we just leave it there. Some guy's like, I don't know. I heard about some dude, Enoch, or what happened. I don't know why you guys go back. What the heck? If you're going to teach the Old Testament, you've got to teach that practical. Here's what it means for your life.
Yeah.
So you've got to have that because every man can do this. Hey, this. Tired of this do it yourself. I would love to know someone made me, created me, has a plan for this. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You got a plan that works? I'll look at a plan. I'll look at blueprints, but I'm not going to go through the life of David to learn about a civilization that lived, you know, 3,500 years ago. Why? So even how we teach, you know, I think churches get satisfied with, man, that was a great talk on Samuel. You know who cares? No one. Christian university students that are studying Old Testament, maybe. But who cares about Samuel? We're not going to get to heaven and go, how much did you know about the Bible? We're going to go, man, how should you walk with the Lord using the Bible as your only source? Now that changes the lens on how we teach the word.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's an interesting thought because, you know, one of the things that we know is that the more we spend time in seeking out to understand who Jesus is, because after we get to that relationship with Christ, you know, the goal is just that slowly but surely with each passing day, we become more like Jesus, right? I mean, because when we are more like Christ, all of a sudden that becomes a game changer for our marriage,
yep,
for the way that we are a father, for the way that we interact with that coworker that really just drives us bananas,
yep,
or when we're driving around Sioux Falls, which you'll experience. Well, no, wait, you don't have a rental car, but
yeah, I've gotten 15 minutes of it from the airport to here.
Yeah, and you'll be like, why is this person driving so slow? Because especially coming from California,
I was looking like there's cops here somewhere.
You're like, why is every speed limit Sioux Falls 30 miles an hour when you're used to like 50 in California? But. You know, so the desire to become more and more like Jesus. So let me just ask you then, what are simple things Because as dudes, I think we just want stuff simple. Sometimes we make stuff so hard. I think you would agree with that. We make stuff so hard in our life sometimes. And it's all about, okay, I don't know if it really needs to be that hard. Or if it is hard, how do we make it easier? Okay, so like as you think about our quest to just become more like Christ, more forgiving, more loving, whatever, what are simple things that a dude can do just to help them in that quest of becoming more like Jesus? What do you see at work?
I think it's even defining that for guys, going, what's it mean to be more like Christ? Well, I got to change my attitudes, my behavior, my conduct to be more like him. And I'm like, no, that's religion. You can't do it. It's called the Christian for a reason. It's Christ in you. It's you're not supposed to just, I got to be more like Christ, because that defeats a guy. Here's something else I know about men. We don't sign up for things that we know are going to fail. And almost every church service and most men's conferences I go to, I'm like, I hate going to a men's conference. No offense. I've looked into yours for the last few years to go, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what you guys are. My buddy Ricky that we talked about came out. You've had a couple of my friends teach, and they've come back and said, dude, seriously, Brown, you got to get your butt to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I'm like, I'm going to get it there. Because I dread going to a men's conference. Like, I go into a men's conference already knowing. On a scale of 1 to 10, as a dad, I'm probably a 6. But after I sit to a men's conference, I'm like, oh, I'm a 2. Oh, I suck. Guys, like, you should leave home every day as if it was the last day you see your kids. Do you love and cherish them before you head to work? If that was the last day, and I'm like, hey, I don't need that guilt. And that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. If it was my last day I was going to live, I ain't going to work. What are you putting on me here? Or I going, hey, on marriage, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you going to be the husband? I'm like, I think I'm a solid 4, but I'm trending up right now.
Up and to the right.
My wife's the one that signed me up for this conference. And after sitting through 3 marriage talks, I realized I've never been married. I'm so far from it. This is ridiculous. And I go home with all this, like, and you're going to compare me to these biblical heroes. And men don't sign up for stuff that I know I'm going to fail. The beauty of Christianity and what Jesus did in that upper room with his men the last night of his freedom before he went to the cross, boil it all down. I'm going to give you 11 steps to masculinity. But he's got a bunch of fishermen, at least half of them, so he's going to make them 11 really easy steps to masculinity. Listen, I'm like this. I'm like a tree, and you guys are a branch. And I wonder if he grabbed a styrofoam cup and just took the plastic fork and stuck it in it. Okay? And they're like, all right, who's the tree again? He goes, I'm the tree. My dad's the gardener. God's got this whole thing set up. It's going to work. If dad's the gardener, it's going to work. I'm like this vine. You're just a branch. All you have to do, this is the first of your 11 steps, is remain in me. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. Step 2, remain. Step 3, remain, 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 11 times in 9 verses. You remain in me, you will bear fruit. Your life will change. Your marriage is going to work, but you're not working it. Your parenting is going to work, but it's not you working it. When you get squeezed at work, different stuff's going to start coming out instead of what usually comes out. It's not going to be Craig coming out, but Christ is going to start to come out. Why? Because it is in you. It's like the old Gatorade commercials. Remember the old black and white Gatorade commercials?
Yeah.
It's 4th and goal, or the clock's ticking down 5 seconds, and the point guard's crossing midcourt, and they have all these scenes, and all of a sudden you see him sweat, and it's green. And the guy bleeding, the football player that's bleeding, it's orange, and it's like, Gatorade, is it in you? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get me some Gatorade. That'll help me sit on the couch and watch sports. But I love it. Like, you're bleeding green and orange. You're bleeding. It's in you.
Yeah.
This is, we just spent all of last year, one of the reasons I'm pumped about it, 52 weeks in the book of John. Not what did Jesus do, but who was he?
Yeah.
And bringing everything down to those last chapters where he's like, don't go out and be a better man. Don't go be a better husband. Don't go try to be a better dad. Don't go try to be like Christ. You're going to fail miserably. Man, you should learn to walk with me. Remain. Learn to walk your day and share your day with me. I'm going to get in you. It's going to come out. And when you're squeezed, Christ is going to come out. I promise you, your wife's going to start seeing a difference. I promise you. Man, what does it look like to have an ongoing daily relationship? Whereas dudes, I'm not talking about 3 hours of solitude and journaling. Yeah. I'm talking about just riding in the truck and just keeping in mind that I'm his little dude.
Yeah.
He cannot, will not ever take his hands, his eyes off of me. And just start learning to share and just conversation and being mindful of that. What would it look like to learn just to remain? And then allow him to do in us and through us whatever that good work is, whatever that fruit is. Because it's his life in us. It's not me trying to get close to his life. And I know for North Coast, that has been a huge emphasis over the years of, man, I'm not about to give you this list of things you have to be and do. You're not. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. We're going to introduce you to a God that you're going to learn to walk with. And doggone it, if you're not going to look in the rearview mirror somewhere down the road and go, holy cow, holy cow, yeah, there's something happening. And then Craig's going to ask Daryl, what's going on with you, man? What's going on with you and Cynthia, man? Yeah. How come you're going home early now? Where are you going? He's like, come and see. Yeah. See how we would do the whole thing?
Yeah, exactly.
We just did?
I mean, don't come and see like when I'm with Cynthia later. Like,
yeah, yeah, don't come, no, don't come and see what I'm doing at home with Cynthia. Come to church. And be like, I don't know, man. I've been listening to these guys teach and getting this guy stuff. He got into my head and stuff. You ought to come check this out, dude.
Yeah.
But and they will, because they've seen you. Because guess what? He's tired of cheating around on his wife, or he's tired of going home to that same crappy relationship he has, because he knows. We know as men where our scoreboard is, where it counts. We know where we are as a husband, and we know where we are as a parent. For you single men, you know where you are with your lust and with your sexuality and your character. We know. It's why we work so hard outside the house, because that's where I can get my validity. That's where I can get my standing O's. I know where respect is, because I know the moment I walk in the door, I ain't it. And yet we know the only thing that counts in my heart is when I walk in the door. So what do? I go out and I work more. Mm-hmm. And I work harder instead of being present where I'm at. And it becomes this incredibly defeated cycle that no matter where we do, where we go in the organization, no matter what we sell, I ain't good because she's not good. And I know it. Mm-hmm. And that's my measure of a man. Men were built and made for relationship, pure and simple. Mm-hmm. Pure and simple. We were built and made for relationship. And when those key relationships aren't working, it doesn't matter what you create, what you do. You're done.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Chris, so you have a long, 28 years marriage, ministry for...
By the way, I'm close with that number. I said 28 when I sat down, and I immediately said, she's not here to fact check it. And you know what? She won't listen to a men's podcast. So 28, I'm sure of it.
So you got a lot of years of marriage under your belt, a lot of years of ministry under your belt. One of the things that we talk about at ResGen a lot is just guys having what we call bands of brothers. I'm sure a lot of ministries talk about it, different contexts, maybe even use that term, right? But guys that are just saying, like, listen, I'm going to battle with you. I just don't want to let a brother fall. I want to have guys that I can be real with, where I can take off the mask, that can be, I can cry with, I can get frustrated with, I can, all that kind of thing. So as you think about your life personally, you already mentioned another great friend who was a part of the summit last year, Ricky Jenkins.
Yeah.
Who, you talked about how he's just a very close friend, and not just in ministry, but as friends. But I'd love for you just to speak about the importance of friendship for a guy. I mean, we talked about, obviously we're built for relationship with God and with others. We talked about just the importance of that marital relationship, making sure that that's solid and that's good, and how, like, it's our relationship with Christ that, when we feel like, man, listen, I'm growing. I understand a little bit more about who Christ has made me to be, who he's creating, continuing to create me to be as I walk with him, that greatly influences our marriage and our parenting and all that. But I'd love for you to talk about friendship, because that can be difficult for guys.
Yeah.
To say, I need a friend, or me and my best friend, whatever, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a great reader, because I can't remember what I read. And then this is case proven. There's a psychologist that did a whole thing on this. And about a year and a half ago, I came across a study, and I forgot who brought it to me. But the average American man has 0.7 best friends. If a best friend is someone I can share what's really going on in my life on somewhat of a regular basis, then the average American man has 0.7 best friend. And I'm like, we couldn't even come up with a whole. we couldn't even come up with a whole. Like, you and I together can come up with, like, 1.5 friends, I guess, if we shared it. But I had no one to go to the bagel store with most of the time. And I get that.
Yeah.
I'm not a good friend, nor am I a guy that goes, I want a bunch of guys to be friends. I've been that kid that's always had a ton of acquaintances, very, very few friends. I pour into staff. Like, all of my best friends work with me.
Yeah.
Now, the bummer is the moment you work somewhere else, I go, I'm like, oh, we're not friends anymore. I don't have time to keep up with who was out there. It's staff. And so I love the staff relationships we have. And we create a ton of after staff hangout,
all of our executive staff, all of our senior pastors, lead pastors, and execs. Twice a year, we get a VRBO just for 3 days, just to pour into that each other and hang out. So it's a highly, highly relational atmosphere. I like the locker room. I like the relationship where you can get real. Mm-hmm. But I've never been into, hey, can we just sit and talk? Or, hey, we're going to sip some cigars in the backyard or in the palapa, can get guys together, you know, to sit for a while, the modern day campfire. It's a challenge, I think, for guys. And I think a lot of guys, if you're honest, you're like, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, man, neither do I. I'm not a big fan of the accountability. We meet at the same coffee house and we ask the same three questions, because I'm like, every guy I've ever known in shame-based sin lied about it. No guy's like, oh my gosh, they're going to ask me the question Tuesday and I'm going to have to admit I had an affair Saturday. Oh, it's coming. It's like, yeah, they've been asking me that question for a year and a half. I've had the affair. Yeah. We've got to get men in our life. We've got to figure out where are we doing that, where we can be known and we know others. And that is crucial for men. And I think the church can provide that, because outside of that, what are you doing in around? You know, we are great to hang out with. I know the guy with the season tickets down for me in my section, or I know the guys that show up at this bar where I'm going to watch, you know, USC play on Saturdays, because all the same faces are out. We can go to shared experiences with guys, but we're not really being known and we're not knowing someone. And so I love what you guys are doing. At North Coast, we've taken the step and said, I think what's best is not just a men's group, but men and women together. So we put everything around life groups and said, you're going to sit with your spouse. Because it's really hard for you to lie to these three guys when your wife's next to you. Because she's like, you said you did what? You said it's been how long? You said you're reading what? And it's like, dang it. Cynthia showed up and this whole thing took a whole turn. And so we just do life groups. Everything in our church gets you into a small group. We don't have any extracurricular stuff. It's come on the weekends, you're part of the crowd. You want to be in the church, get in a small group. So 93% of our adults are in a small group, and it's sermon-based. So we try to get men with their spouses to sit with men and their spouses and build those relationships and go, okay, we know each other. And in those groups, men and women split off at times and do their own thing. So now we can get some deeper issues and bring them back. And we've had much better luck that way, partly because, as I said earlier, women are the glue that hold that stuff together. They love that.
Yeah.
Oh, to get my husband to go to a group with me. Now, again, make the group something a man wants to attend.
Yeah.
You know, don't start with, you know, hey, each of you are going to go around and cry for 5 minutes because that's what gets the blood flowing. And it's like, that's what gets my car going. So we really we have put all of our eggs into one basket, and that's these life groups that meet every week, sermon-based. You're with your spouse. You're growing. We don't split them. We don't divide. We don't bring new people in. We try to keep you together for as long as you're in the area. Some have been together for 20, 25 years now.
Which is kind of a counterculture or whatever, but I think about it, like a lot of churches, especially if the church is growing large, they're like, hey, we need you to split.
Yep.
We need you as a group to split because we need you. You've got strong leaders. We need you to lead a group. We need to welcome up.
If you love Jesus, you'd get rid of some of your friends. And I'm like, kind of Jesus wants me to get rid of my friends now. Man, that guy's asking for a lot. Next thing you know, he's going to want offering.
So much sacrifice.
Yeah. Man, what's the guy ever done for me? We haven't gotten to that part of the book yet. We're getting there. It's toward the end. And a lot of churches do. They split or multiply or take it. And I go, why? Keep them. Well, we got new people coming. Well, put new people in groups with new people. Because the problem is, when you put new people into our group's been together for 16 years. We're going to be friendly. We're the friendliest people. But we're not going to be your friends. Because all of my time spots are taken with my real friends.
Yeah.
So you ever had people come to church and they bounce into people. Everyone's friendly, but no one actually wants to go barbecue and hang out with them. And it's like, dude, all my barbecue and hangout spots are filled for the next 4 years with the friends I have. So we put new people to church in groups with new people because they're all looking to hang out.
Yeah.
They've all moved into the area and go, oh, you guys go barbecue and meet each other. You'll have a blast. Put seasoned leaders in that and then let them go. So we try to keep those groups together for life, life. All of our serving comes out of those groups. All of our community service comes out of that groups. Communion happens in groups, not in the church. Again, because we call the church the home, not the weekend. So that was the way we have found success then with 93% of our adults, which by definition of all our groups married, we do have single groups, but about half of those are men. Mm-hmm. So we've got 93% of our men in a group, but it's with a wife And we found at least good success over the last, I think, 35 years doing it that way, 40. We're sticking to it. I love the men's things getting together. It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I think it does work. It's a unique guy. Some really good guys do it. We were never successful with it. So the people that are, I just applaud. I mean, my main thing is, guys, you got to have something. If you're not in a group with your wife, then you better get into men's.
Yeah. Well, what I like about what the model that you're talking about, too, is that it means that husbands and wives are doing stuff together. Because I think what we've seen, I mean, I'm sure you've seen this, is that a lot of times husbands and wives, they're not spending time together.
No. Nope.
Well, number one, you know, we're so busy chasing our kids to all their stuff. And I mean,
yeah,
running, you know, roughshod trying to get everybody's schedules in line, all this. And then hopefully, you know, we can maybe make time for a 2-hour date, you know, once a month or something like that. So
yeah.
Husbands and wives just aren't doing stuff. They have different hobbies. So, you know, guys are going golfing or hunting or whatever. And gals are, you know, I'm not a gal, so I don't know totally what they're always doing. But
yeah, non-hunting and better golfing.
but just even the idea of, like, you know, husbands and wives doing things together,
yeah,
and having those conversations, which you have to be intentional about.
Yep.
You have one of my good friends, he's been a part of several things that ResGen has done, both Date Night Comedy and Men's Summit, is Ted Cunningham. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Ted, but just, I mean, he talks about having the daily delay, 15 minutes of make sure, you know, connection with each other, the weekly withdrawal and annual abandon. Finding ways to be intentional,
mm-hmm,
in growing your marriage,
yep,
and growing that relationship. And when you're bringing these spiritual conversations amongst friends together as husband and wife, there's now that growing in faith component,
yep,
that is there. Because again, I think that's one of the things that God has even been speaking to me about, saying, Tom, I really want you to make praying with your wife more of a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying was not so much praying at your wife,
yeah,
but praying
for her, your wife,
praying with,
but just
her.
Pray with.
Yeah.
And it'll probably end up being about you then, but that's okay. Go with it.
But just that husbands and wife doing things together. And I think that's
yeah,
helping even that take place.
To do that, we take everything else off the menu board then. I mean, there's no big children's. We don't do events. We don't do concerts. We don't do any other, we don't do these big marriage retreats. We just want you there. So
yeah.
You've got church on the weekend, and the only other thing you can really get involved with is you got to get in a life group with your spouse, or if you're single, with other singles.
Yeah.
That's it. Outside of that, we're going to ask you to find a place to serve. But serving, again, comes through all of our life groups, so you got to get in a life group. And you will be at North Coast for 9 years and continually be told, you're not part of the church. You're not in the church. Thanks for coming on the weekends. You're part of the crowd. Jesus loved the crowd. Jesus taught the crowd. Jesus did miracles in front of the crowd. The crowd is needed. If you ever want to be part of the church, get in a life group.
So as you think about, you know, again, 28 years, your wife's not here to verify that it has been 28 years, but you had to have been intentional about just, you're a busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and let's be real. Every guy's busy, you know, but we it's not about managing time so much, managing priorities. What are some intentional things that you've done, Chris, to really foster growth in your marriage? Because mm-hmm, I think there's a lot of guys that they kind of feel at a loss there and be like, I just don't know what to do. Marriage is struggling, or like, I don't know. I know she's going to be there. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I, you know, I'm just doing that. I'm just doing the kid thing. I'm doing my job thing. I'm doing my hobby thing. What are, yeah, some of the things that you've personally been intentional about, or that you've just, you know, seen with other dudes and that would be maybe an encouragement for guys that are thinking like that?
Big steps. And I don't know. I mean, one, I gave wife 20 years ago, you choose where I work and how I work. Man, I let her pick. She picked North Coast. I didn't. I had 5 different churches at that time, 5 different ministries that were looking at me. North Coast was a solid 5, maybe 4.
Mm.
But the 1, 2 were so far out in front of the 3, 4, and 5s, it was ridiculous. And she picked where I was going to work. And I was like, I can't believe you picked the last one. I think you did it just to spite me. I had gotten into doing the 70-hour work weeks every week. I'd gotten into doing that. I'd gotten used to the standing O's in the arena. I'd gotten used to that. And we had gotten to a place where we had our second kid, and the marriage started to crumble because Amy wasn't traveling now to keep up with me at these places with one. She had 2. I kept this pace going. And we didn't burn out, but we saw it 2 exits in front of us. And so I pulled the e-brake on one of the best jobs I ever had, and that campus pastor job at this large Christian university where you were with students 24/7. It was a kid in a candy store, and said, you choose where I work and how. So I gave her my schedule, you know, even going teaching in places, traveling things. Hey, babe, here's some things that came up. What do we want to do? Kids got to speak into dad's schedule. And we got to a place where we had a backyard and we wanted to put a pool in it, but we couldn't afford to put a pool in it. I was like, kids, it was a family decision. If we want to do a pool, because in San Diego, you can use it year round.
Yeah.
Dad's going to have to be gone quite a bit. I mean, I got to take a lot of extra speaking if we can pull this off. The kid over there, he's like, why are you still here?
In that sentence,
yeah.
Why are you still here? Yeah. He was like, eight at the time. He was like, go get us a pool. I'll see you in 4 years, but I'll be swimming. But, you know, family was in on how much am I doing? How much am I traveling?
I know from my wife for the last 20 years that she has never competed with my job because she owns it. There's never been a mistress that was work. She owns it. And then for me, it was realizing I'm really tight with my money. You got to be to live in Southern California, but what am I doing? Start spending some money on the things that count. So for us, we can drive to Vegas. You know, it's 4 hours away. Or Southwest flies to Vegas for like $39. Vegas usually, depending on what's going on, can have some cheap rooms because they just want you to spend money. We just want to sit by the pool for 2 days.
Yeah.
So I can take a quick 2 day, relatively inexpensive, and we can get in on a Vegas. I'm sure wherever you're listening, there's places around to go. Just go. You know, it's not a 5-star all-inclusive in Cancun, but we started a couple times a year just taking those 2 days and those 3 day things and just go, Chris, start doing stuff like that. What else are you going to do with this? Mm-hmm. And spend $500 and do something, you know, and go with just with her. Yeah. So started getting those things to look forward to. So she knows, man, in 5 weeks we're leaving, in 4 weeks we're leaving.
Yeah.
That keeps her going. I need the break. Yeah. So part of it was, you know, what your friend was saying, having those breaks. Part of it was just knowing, I sat down going into my 50s and just said, this should be the best decade of my life, right? Where my kids are, what do I want to do? No joke. I took a bunch of paper. I took a couple books as if I was going to read. I took some pens, some highlighters. I got my Bible. I got a drink. Sat outside. I had this 4 hours, 4.5 hours on an afternoon blocked out, no one around for me to just, I've never sat down and got a year in advance, let alone a decade. I sat down and thought, first question or first thing, I should have talked to someone about how to do this. I don't even know where to begin looking at my life. And I'm like, okay, what's easy like? And I just wrote three things that I just know without a doubt, three things about me. Okay. I think I'm done. I got up and I walked around the yard like two times going, am I done? I had 4.5 hours. I think this took like a minute and a half. I came back. I looked at my three things and I realized I haven't prayed yet. So I got up and I did a walk around prayer because I'm like, Lord, I think I'm going to blow the next decade of my life once again. Came back, looked at those three things, picked everything up, went inside and had the rest of the afternoon off. It was so clear to me. Number one, I want my wife to say that was the best husband I ever heard of. Now, that's a high bar. I can't even see that bar from where I am right now, but I know it's up there somewhere. But I want this decade, my wife, to go, best husband I ever heard of. Number two, I'm going to have three kids that are going to be in their 20s through this decade. So I want my adult kids to be able to say, he wasn't the coolest dad, and he didn't have the coolest stuff, but man, we loved having him as our dad for this decade. All three. Number three, I want one church in America to say, I think we were better with him than without him. Bar got a little lower each time. That one's right there. Number four is still on the paper, circled with nothing next to it. There is nothing else. Yeah, do I want to take more fishing trips? Of course.
Sure.
Do I want to get a bigger, you know, my best bluefin tuna is only 83 pounds. Do I want to triple digits? Of course. But when it came to what is it that I say this would make 10 years, that was it. It got so clear. And that's why I got to, so why am I going to Atlanta? Why do I go to Chicago? Why am I speaking for someone's conference? This is ridiculous. It takes me 0-for-3 away from my top three. Why am I saying yes to things out here? Holy cow.
Yeah.
And then with that, I look at it and go, okay, so let's hit these in that priority. I got some work to do with her. Now, if she was here, she would say I'm pretty dang good. But I'm faking it a lot. But I think that's part of being a guy too. Part of being a guy is doing the things you know you're supposed to do, even though you don't stink and feel like it, and go, I fake it a lot. Because that's what she needs. That's what these kids need. I begin to pretend like I'm interested and go, really? And then what happened? Mm-hmm. And you guys went where? Oh, what'd you order? oh, God, I don't care about these conversations at all. But she's like, wow, I just so appreciate it when you take the time and you're interested in my day. And I walk away going,
yeah.
Well, she thought I was interested in her day. No, I'm interested in her. I'm interested in having a great marriage. And I know you got to do that. And because it's number one on my list, I'm going to do it. And maybe there's a day I want to know where she and her friends went for lunch and what she ordered. I don't know. It ain't there. But I know it's part of what I ask and what I do and how this thing works. And so I think it's just, men, when we set our hearts to do something, we do it. We got to set our hearts to our marriage, our kids, and our family. I guarantee you, we'll do it.
So, and we need to wrap this up here pretty quick. And I really appreciate just
this going into our third hour.
No, it's good. We're going to wrap this. But there's something that you said, and so what about guys? One more question, and then I'm going to give you a chance. What we call our final word. But the guys that say, okay, Chris, you were able to put this out and say like, okay, my wife picked my job. Uh-huh. But there's guys out there that are like, man, I have a boss that is making me work 70 hours. I'm in a situation that is like, I feel over my head in the job I'm in. Whether it's, I went to school for it. It's just, I don't feel like I can do what you just said. Is there encouragement that you would give them today?
No, I'm going to give them discouragement. They have a boss and they're not listening to him. They're letting some man or woman that runs their company dictate the type of character they're supposed to be as a man. That's not their boss. They got an employer, but that ain't their boss. I got a boss that says, Chris, who you are with that daughter of mine that I allowed you to marry and who you are with those kids that I brought into your family, that's the measure of a man. That's what you pour into. And I am allowing a temporary hierarchy of where I work and how I work interfere with my boss's calling on my life. And men have a hard time distinguishing between their calling and their career. I think I'm going to do this tomorrow. It's one of four options I got. Nope, that doesn't make you afraid. our career is what we do. Our calling is who we are. Our career is temporary, guys. Our calling is eternal. And my calling is to that woman, to that woman, and to those kids. That's my calling. And where am I being a man of God? And right now it's at North Coast. But North Coast is still a career. You know, that church can change in a heartbeat, and I'm somewhere still doing a calling. And so we confuse calling and career, and we're allowing careers to mess up our calling. So, yeah, I'm going to frustrate you because my answer is you need to find another job. Well, I don't think I can find one that pays this well. Yeah, but the cost that it's taken out of the toll of you and your family isn't worth that paycheck. I promise you that. And I promise you, if you lined up your wife and if your kids were old enough to weigh in on that, they'd probably tell you, we'll take less money and more dad. You are the one that's thinking, man, I need to be doing this because it's feeding something here because our calling isn't working. And men have got to come to a real tough point. This is what I did. I left the best job I ever had, and she picked number 5 out of 5, and I knew I wouldn't be there for long, but I'm like, well, pick it. But it didn't fit me and what I wanted to do. But it's where she wanted to take her family, and it's where she wanted me to work for a while. Now I was at a place where I had ruined my shot at it, so I'm like, I'll go with you. Lo and behold, man, do I get... I mean, my calling got so much better when I took the lesser career.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good word. That's a good word. And I know that isn't going to be popular to hear, but I think that you laid that out so well in saying that it's an employer, not a boss.
Yeah.
And we have a calling on our life, and it's bringing that calling, yes, and weighing that in with our career. That's such a man. That was a good thing. All right, so we end our time, and this has been so good, Chris. Thank you so much. I know that, man. You know, if you delivered this kind of good, you know, on like 3 hours of sleep, and like then like wrestling, trying to get some sleep on the plane, I can't imagine what you do with a full night's sleep on this thing.
Probably not as good. You probably want me all goofed up, either on NyQuil or no sleep. Is probably when I'm the best.
So, but we end our podcast with something we just call the final word. And it's just, you know, 30 to 90 seconds of whatever the Lord lays on your heart, maybe encouragement, scripture, whatever, just a final word that you want to leave the audience with and whatever God lays on your heart. So, would love for you to just share a final word and then we'll wrap our time here.
Wow. Yeah. I would go back to kind of a theme that cycled through what we talked about. Men, I would tell you, there is a God that knows exactly who you are, what you've done, who you've done, where you've been going, everything that you're involved in right now, and he loves you. But listen to me, he really, really, really still likes you. And here's why. Because he made you. He created you. You are his little dude. And he knows you're lost. He knows you're hurting. He knows how you got there, but he knows how to get you back home. The problem is you got to let go of you. And I promise you at the end of that, you're going to find a you that you could have never come up with on your own. You are that little dude right now in his Lightning McQueen little footies who thinks he knows what's best. And you have a dad that goes, I know you've ruined it and I know why, but I got another pair for you, kid. I got something better. So, man, I don't know where you're at, what you're doing today, but I promise you there is a God who can't wait to get his hands on you, not because he wants to strangle you, because he wants to pull you back and let you know what a relationship with a real dad is all about. So I challenge you, continue with ResGen. These podcasts, these men's groups, man, their conferences, they're teaching. You lean into this God. Grab onto him with both hands and then just sit back and let him take you for a ride.
Man, praise God. Praise God, Chris. That is a phenomenal final word. I thank you for your heart. Thank you for your ministry, obviously, in Southern California, and the way that you're impacting just thousands of lives and families and husbands and wives and kids. And thank you for your passion for men and seeing
them.
It
comes out a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's why, you know, I sent the first email 4 years ago.
You keep bringing that up.
No, but I'm being real. No, I'm serious though. And it wasn't the right time to come 4 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I firmly believe that this was the right time for you to be here. This conversation here today is proof of that. What you're going to share tomorrow is going to be proof of that. And I'm just so grateful for your partnership and ministry. I'm grateful for the friendship that we've grown fast here at this table.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm thankful for you. So thank you for spending time on the podcast, and God bless you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, guys.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chris Brown today. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, I encourage you to share it with others that may enjoy it as well. If you'd like to hear more from Chris, you can do so at northcoastchurch.com and on the North Coast Church Instagram page. Also, don't forget to head to resgen.org to check out all the information and grab your tickets for Date Night Comedy 2024, which is coming up on the nights of February 29th and March 1st. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for joining me, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast. Until then, continue being men whose life in Christ gives life to others.